right, let's go to James chapter 1, verse 19 through 20. Last time I was with you and we looked at the book of James, we were in 17, 18, the good and perfect gift of spiritual birth. Now we're going to pick up in chapter 1, verse 19 through 21 this morning. It goes all the way to verse 27. But I want to talk to you about getting the most out of your Bible. I want to shame you this morning. If you didn't bring your Bible, hold up your hand. If you brought your Bible, hold up your Bible. Right? If you brought your wife's Bible, go home and get yours. Right? And y'all know who I'm talking to. All right? You ought to bring your Bible.
Yes, sir.
Amen? Even when we have a men's fellowship, it's gotten to where at Fallon's, when we have our men's fellowship, the men do not bring their Bible. So, Brother Glenn, I want you, if they don't bring their Bible, Tuesday night, I want you to preach out of the Book of Mormon. Okay? All right.
That's why my message Tuesday night
was
the Bible. You need to bring your Bible to fellowship.
Oh, was it? Okay. Now, we're not going to get into tablets today, okay? But, you know, because preachers, we just say, open your Bible. Right? We don't say turn on your tablet, right? But open your Bible to James chapter 1, verses 19 through 21, and we're going to just look at those verses today. The first emphasis on hearing the Word of God. The emphasis in verses 19 through 27, of course, is hearing, doing, and showing the Word. Now, so you won't be deceived. Notice verse 22. It is possible for believers to be deceived, but be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Now, we're not deceived to the point that we're going to follow a false shepherd and follow him the rest of our life. If you're a believer, you're not going to do that. You'll get out of that. Okay? It's possible for a believer to be deceived, but they're not going to stay with a stranger. They're going to go back to the Lord. So, but what does the Bible say itself about hearing the Word of God? Now, let's begin reading verse 17 through 21. So let's stand in honor of God's word, not 17, but verse 19, and talk about the first aspect of getting the most out of your Bible, and that is hearing the word, okay? Look in verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, see, that's why we know he's writing to believers, right? Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Now, that's as bad as it sounds, okay? And receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves also. Father, I pray this morning as well. I pray this morning, Father, that you teach us, what does the Bible say about us hearing the Bible? This is not my opinion this morning. It comes straight out of these scriptures this morning. So, Father, I pray you speak to our hearts about the first aspect of this three-part series on getting the most out of our Bible, hearing the Word of God. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. So the context is the believer's relationship to the Word of God. Now, he just got through talking to us about the good and perfect gift. The gift of spiritual birth. Of his own will he begot us by the word of truth, right? And now he's talking about hearing the Bible. First he says in verse 19, be swift to hear. We know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We as believers should be quick, prompt, and ready to hear what God says through his word. When you got up this morning or even before you went to bed last night, you should have looked over there and said, honey, you know what happens tomorrow? We get to go to church and we get to hear the Word of God taught in Sunday school and in the preaching hour, right? Man, you know, I wonder what the preachers and the teachers have for us when we get to Trinity. And I told you this last week, we are blessed to have Brother Glenn with us. I mean, you're not going to get the kind of preaching and teaching that's in this pulpit and in our Sunday school classes. You're not going to get that anywhere, right? All right, now don't sit there. You're already dull of hearing already, okay? All right, you know, I'm going to talk about that in a minute, being dull of hearing. You got figurative spiritual earwax in your head already. So what am I talking about here? Talking about being swift to hear. We must be careful listeners of God's word. You know, the older I get, I'm always studying about preaching. You know, I'm never satisfied where I'm at. And I just want to learn more and more. And the more I learn, the more I find out that it is an art to reading the Bible. Just not reading it to get through, right? Wham, bam, I'm through with my daily Bible reading. But do you read it to understand it? Do you, listen, it's okay to mark your Bible. Say it with me. It's okay to mark your Bible, right? And then you'll go back. Some, I imagine some of you, because when you pass, if I'm still here, I'm going to ask your loved one for your Bible so I could see what was important to you, okay? So at least put one mark in there before you die, okay? All right? And so it's important. Read to understand. Read. Get used to the clauses and the phrases and how they come together, the syntax, right? And it does after repeated reading, reading it over. This is what preachers do during the week. We read the text over and over, and then the outline jumps out at us, right? And we don't preach our outline. We preach the Holy Spirit's outline. Amen. So listen to understand. Take notes. Listen. And if you miss a message, go to our website and listen to it again. Sometimes we put both messages on there. Sometimes we put this. But I'm telling you what, many of you have been getting copies of Brother Glenn's teaching. He's in John 17 this morning. And you need to get a copy of that back there as he begins to go through John 17, the high priestly prayer. And no greater understanding about prayer than listening about it from the heart of Jesus, right? Yeah. So you just tell him you want a copy of that. Now notice what he says there. For the wrath, beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Now I want you to look at verse 21 just a second. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive. Now hear, not only hear it, but embrace it. Receive it. Notice what he says. He says, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Receive with meekness the engrafted word. The word of God is seed that's implanted. It's engrafted in our hearts. You remember the parable of the sower in Matthew 13? Jesus says, a man went out to sow. And boy, I like that when you just cough one time and they get up and get your water. I like that. But he went out to sow, right? Indiscriminately. He didn't target where he was going to cast the seed, did he? He went out and sowed the seed, the word of God. And it landed on one of four hearts, okay? Remember the four hearts? The hard heart, the beaten path. The birds came and picked it up. Man, I was not able to get it. Therefore, it bore no fruit. Thank you, Brother Glenn. And the shallow heart. You know, this is the heart that's no depth to it, emotional, and no depth, bore no fruit. You know, you've seen them in the church. They come in, and I've had them in the ministry, my ministry, over and over and over. Preacher, I want to help you do this. I want to help you do that. And turned out to be, what do you call a firecracker that don't go off? A dud, right? And it turned out to be a dud. And all these big plans of what they were going to help me, you know, and it didn't come to pass. And shallow heart, emotional, a lot of emotion, a lot of, oh, man, I love Jesus, man, I'll be back tonight, preacher, you know. But when persecution come into their life, it just choked out, right? Shallow, no depth. And then the crowded heart, or we call that the cluttered heart, it lacked repentance. Sin choked out the word and it became unfruitful. These were the weeds and the clutter in our lives that choke out the word of God. And only one landed on fertile heart. I've always believed, and I always taught that the four souls were, there was only one that was saved. And that was the one with the fertile heart, the fruitful heart. Received the word of God and produced fruit. And there were some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. But there was fruit, okay? John 15, that you bear fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. Fruit is the evidence that you're a Christian. Fruit is the works and the evidence that come out of your life that glorify God, proving your transformed life, right? So there is fruit in our lives. Now, James chapter 2 says the same thing when we get there. Faith without works is dead. Now, the scriptures are always involved in genuine conversion. Would you agree with that? You've got to hear the word of God. You've got to be convicted of your sin, and you've got to repent and turn toward Christ, right? It's always, the scriptures are always involved in the word of God. No one is now, I know I'm getting in trouble here, but no one is saved by a vision. No one's saved by an experience, extra biblical experience. No one is saved by self-revelation. People are saved by hearing the word of God, by being convicted of their sin and who Jesus is, repenting and turning and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why it's so crucial we get the gospel out. Now, I want you to turn with me to Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Okay, we're going to turn. I don't ask you to turn to many, but I want you to go to Romans chapter 10. In verse 13 through 18. Here you have Paul in 9, 10, and 11 talking about God's chosen people, the nation of Israel. And he's making a point here about the necessity of giving out a clear witness so that saving faith can follow. Now, I agree with a lot of preachers. Sometimes I hear them say that there's not enough gospel in that church to convict anybody of their sin. You know, just come together and feel good. And I like what you said in Sunday school about how churches are changing and trying to attract a crowd. Y'all have heard me tell you over and over and over and over, there is a difference between a church and a crowd, okay? Now, look in Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Paul here, first of all, quotes Joel chapter 2, verse 32, which is a partial fulfillment in Acts 2, and also here in Acts 13, you see a partial fulfillment of Joel chapter 2, which talks about the millennium, okay? And here is a partial fulfillment. And partial fulfillment happened at Pentecost. But there's more yet in Acts 2 that is yet to be fulfilled at the millennium, okay? Now let's begin to read it. Look what he says about the necessity of a gospel proclaimer and the necessity of a clear witness in Romans chapter 10, verse 13. For there is no difference, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is that what it says? All right. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. For how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now, that's just not me and Brother Glenn. That's all of us. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good news. The picture is not that the fact they have good toes, right? The picture is the fact that they're going out with the gospel message, right? Bring the glad tidings of good things. Verse 16. But they have not all but obeyed the gospel. For I say it like Isaiah. Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? Now we get that from Isaiah 53, right? Now notice what it says. Verse 17. For then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Is that what it says? Okay. If you are saved any other way than hearing or reading the gospel, then God is a liar. You must hear, you must listen to, you must read the gospel that Christ died for your sins and was buried and rose again the third day. So go back to our text, okay? The word of God cannot work in our hearts unless we receive it the right way. We hear it, but do we really hear? And I'm been preaching long enough to know that I know I can look at you and tell you when you tuned out on me, right? I said, I've done lost that one, and I'm not 3 minutes into the message, you know? And I know, y'all can't hide it. You see, and you look at me like a calf looking at a new gate. I know, you know what I mean? I know from whence I speak. Right, Brother Glenn? And a lot of people are trained. I had an uncle. I won't give you his name, but he was trained. He could sleep with his eyes open. He had to get farther back to keep them open, but he could sleep with his eyes open. And I could tell, you know. And there's a little mischievous spirit in me. Sometimes in different churches, I would wait till they were about gone. And I'll say, ain't that right, Brother Glenn? His name is Glenn Cook in Adel. And he rock his Bible all the floor, and he said, yes, sir, preacher. You know. But I could tell when they were tuned out. You know? I mean, Jesus says, take heed what you hear. Receive it. Not only hear it, but receive it. You know, embrace it. Do you understand what you're hearing? Underline. You know, listen to understand, not listen to listen, okay? You know, what did the preacher just say? You know, I love to listen to sermons. How did the preacher get that? What's his outline? How does he explain that text? How does he prove that text? How does he illustrate that text? You know, what is it here that I need to get, you know? And so listen to understand. I'm afraid that many people don't know how to listen to the Bible. Many have been under the teaching of God's word for 10, 20, 30, 40 years, 50 years, but they never seem to grow. There's no evidence that they're appropriating what they're receiving, and that they're applying the word of God in their heart. They've been a spiritual baby, you know, their whole life. There's something wrong here. Bible calls it dull of hearing. We should be ready to hear and be teachable. We should have a desire to take advantage of every opportunity to learn God's word. We should be eager to attend Sunday school. I thank you that you attend Sunday school. We got a higher number than most churches that we don't have 20 that don't come to Sunday school. Most everybody in our church comes to Sunday school, okay? And by the way, we're still going to call it Sunday school, okay? We're not going to change it to some weird name, you know, just a life group. What is that? I don't want to be on life support, you know. What is a life group? You know, we teach the Bible. We are a Sunday school. And so we come together for that. We'll already look forward to coming for preaching and Sunday school and other occasions where the Bible is applied, a women's meeting, a men's meeting, personal or group Bible study with your friends or whatever. We ought to be able to look forward to that. Now, what's the words I started out with? Bring your Bible, okay? Say it with me. Bring my Bible. Bring, okay. I am going to bring my Bible, right, when I come to church. Honor the word of God as from God and not man. Don't twist or pervert the word of God. Don't interpret it in your... You see, people like me and Brother Glenn, we've been trained our whole life how to interpret a passage, you know? And so when you argue with me, you better make sure you're on solid ground, okay? We don't look at it from our personal opinions and biases. We let it speak for ourselves, right? It's all right there in the text. Verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of the man worketh not the righteousness of God. Lay aside all filthiness and receive with meekness the word of God, which is able to save your souls. So we need to be swift to hear. Secondly, we need to be slow to speak. In verse 19, as far as hearing the word of God, look in the latter part of verse 19. Be swift to hear, slow to speak. We should listen more than we speak. The context, again, lends itself to the fact of clearing our minds and our thoughts and listen to the word of God. Be slow to speak. You know, I'm also trained in watching people's posture, you know, and I can tell, you know, they'll sit out there like this with their arms folded. I'm not going to believe a word you say, preacher. Bless me if you can, you know, right? And you can't show them things from Scripture. I've been asked this thing twice in my ministry. Just the other day, I hope it wasn't you. I don't mean to embarrass you. If it was you, then lay it to my memory. Somebody asked me, is it okay to bring the price of a dog into the Lord's house? Deuteronomy 23:18, right? They wanted to know if they could sell their dog and bring the money and put it in the offering plate. Price of a dog, read the whole text. Don't bring the price of a whore into the Lord's house. What's the price of a dog? It was a male prostitute. You know, so they're talking about four-legged dogs, and I'm talking about two-legged dogs, right? Okay? So don't bring it. So know your Bible from which you speak. And they say, oh, well, you know, a preacher told me that, you know, or so, this, that, and other, whatever. But be slow to speak. When the Bible comes time to speak, we should speak the truth in love and edify our brothers. Know what you're talking about. Don't argue with the Bible. Don't argue with it in your heart, audibly or silently. You know, I know that's what it says, preacher, but I just can't do that. I know that's what it says, but I'm going to marry this woman. I know that's what it says, but I don't love my husband anymore. I'm leaving him, and I'm going to marry this other man. I don't care what the Bible says. I want myself satisfied, you know. And then thirdly, be slow to wrath, verse 19. Context, again, lends itself not being angry at God or his word. Now, you know, I don't mind if people get angry at me when I'm preaching the Bible, but really they're just mad at God. Because the word of God exposes sin, and we don't like that. We should not get angry at God. But what? Instead of getting angry at God and not coming back to church anymore, we should what? Repent, yeah. Right? Proverbs 14:29 says, he that is slow to wrath is of great understanding, but he that is hasty of spirit exalteth folly. And I've fought this my whole life. You know, I mean, I want to jump right in there, you know? And I want to speak sometimes before I think. I bet y'all didn't know that about me, did you? But, you know, short tempers, hasty words have been the sources of many church fights. Ego, that's what the problem is with church fights. I want my way. I don't want God's way. I want my way. I don't care what the Bible says. You know, I'm going to compromise. I'm going to convenient obedience. I'm compromised here just a little bit. It'll be okay. You know, I'd rather have the preacher mad at me than my family. Are y'all listening? I'd rather have the Word of God mad at me than my family. And I found out years ago that the blood of family is thicker than the blood of Christ many times. So prepare your heart, verse 21. Notice what it says. Wherefore, lay aside all superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. It's kind of like James here is comparing the heart to a garden that's left unattended, that the weeds grow up and take over. That phrase there, superfluity of naughtiness, means abundance of wickedness. We can't receive the word in an unprepared heart, right? If we got known sin in our life, then we're just whistling Dixie when we come here on Sunday. I believe there's a time for a healthy discussion of the Scriptures. I believe that, but not be argumentative. And I have this problem when I'm talking to the cults. I told you before, I went to a Mormon funeral the other day, because I knew the guy and I knew what I was going to hear. And I was able to listen for the code words that they give, like Jesus had gave a good example for us. They didn't mention the fact that he died on the cross and substitutionary death in our place, right? They mentioned about a prophet that had come that restored the church that had apostatized. That was Joseph Smith. And he found the tablets under a rock, you know, and restored the present-day church. That's why they call it the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. That's what they mean by that. They're not talking about end-time saints, which is us. They're talking about the people that came and got restored through Joseph Smith's teachings. And so I knew what to listen for, and I didn't. And the boy sitting next to me that I went, the guy went to Whataburger, and we went for his funeral, and the other guys were with me, were Whataburger junkies, I guess. And I got a chance to talk to him the other day at Whataburger about the service, and I told him, you know, what I just told you, you know, that it's a cult. Now, how do we prepare our hearts? Do you prepare your heart on Sunday, ready for Sunday morning? Or are you like us? When our kids were little, we just throw everything together, you know. We'd be all helter-skelter, and, you know, and if you don't behave back there, I'm going to stop this car, you know, and I'm going to reach back there. Well, Faye would. Faye would reach back there and go after them, you know. And I can get an amen from my son, but he's sitting behind her. And Amy's back there watching the monitor. And my parents said the same thing to me. I'm going to stop this car. I always wonder, what you going to do if you stop it? You know, you ain't going to beat me side the highway. They'll put you in jail. Yeah, back then. But what the point I was saying, we come to church on Sunday morning, Brother Glenn, we weren't ready to worship. And yet, the preacher would stand at the door and see us coming and say, look at that wonderful family. Each of them got their Bible under the arm, and coming up here so clean and neat, and man, I wish everybody in the church were like them, right? But prepare your heart. How do we do that? By confessing our sins. 1 Peter 2:1-2, therefore lay aside all malice. We're going to hurry here. All guile, hypocrisies, envies, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. And this speaks of, if you will, moral vice or earwax. Sin in our life is like earwax, so we become dull of hearing. We hear, but we don't hear. And then by meditating on God's word, ask God to teach you and correct any wrong belief or behavior. Ask God to open your eyes to understanding. What is it that I need to pull out of that text? And tonight I'm going to share with you what it means to follow. Christ said, follow me in Matthew 4. What do those two words mean? And it's not something I can just look for 4 points in the passage, but I'm going to look at what's explicit and implicit in that text of what it means to follow Christ, okay? Principles. And then an attitude of humility. I've had people to actually tell me, preachers tell me, said, I know about everything there is to know, but Ken, you ain't going to teach me nothing new. And our pride and our hardness and sin will make us unresponsive and receptive to God's word. I've taught this way my whole life. You're not going to teach me another way, you know. And it's so sad. So the believer's first responsibility is to hear the word of God and receive it, okay? That's what the Bible wants you to get out of the day, how you can get the most out of your Bible. Hear it and receive it and believe it. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, and prepare your heart. And then you're ready, as we'll look at next week. Ready to obey the word, ready to do the word, and ready to show the word to other people, okay? And we'll see that next week. All heads bowed, all eyes closed. Father, maybe there's one here today that has never heard the fact that Christ died for their sins. Second person of the Trinity left heaven, became as one of us, lived a perfect, righteous life, lived in perfect obedience so that he could be our sin bearer, our substitute. The last Adam, because the first Adam defaulted. But Jesus Christ came and lived in perfect obedience. He satisfied, as was said already this morning, God's holy demands that righteousness prevail and that sin be punished. And so, Father, thank you that you put our sin upon Christ and gave us his righteousness. That's how we go to heaven. None of us would, in our best moments in our whole life, will never earn enough righteousness to see heaven. It's only by the imputed righteousness of Christ in our lives and what he has done for us. Father, maybe they never heard that today. Maybe they need to come. Maybe the altar's open, you know. I want to be a better listener and doer of the word. I want to get the most out of my Bible. Father, whatever it is, this altar is open. Have your will and way in this service. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Our invitation hymn this morning is page 244, if you'll stand if you're able.